Jake! 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 Something terrible's happened.
What? What?
Tasha, she found us, man.
Wait, what?
She found us! She found out we stole her spells and she came and she took Mike!
I thought he just went on vacation for 2 weeks.
No, she took him! She found him and she took him and he's probably dead and we should probably just give up on this and we should probably just go home and hide until she comes for us too.
Ben, I'm already home. I don't leave my house.
But you're not hiding, Jake. That's the problem.
What do you want me to turn off my lamp?
Yes!
But then I can't see that well. I don't have dark vision.
You can't see anyway!
Well, I guess it's fair.
Guys! Oh my god!
Oh my god, Mike, I thought you were dead!
Dude, yeah, it was bad. Tasha got me.
I told you!
But, luckily, I was able to make the most of it. You came back with spells. I came back with information on her troops.
Oh.
She has troops?
Yeah, she's training, like, one person in each, like, class. It's really weird.
That's a really small class.
It's a small troop.
It's also really weird because she's like all about spells and stuff, but she's even training like barbarians. I don't know. All I know is they've all got some pretty cool stuff that I've never seen before.
Well, okay. We should probably evaluate this.
Michael, the book's been out for a while.
Welcome to Traveler's Tips and Tales. I'm Mike.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Ben.
And today we are starting a new mini series on the podcast called Reclassed, where we're going to be going through all of these new class features and stuff like that that are listed out in Tasha's, varying from the optional class features that they brought in to the new subclasses. So today's episode, we are focusing on the optional class features. Some of them will have some pretty quirky things. Some of them are going to try to fix things that should never have been broken. And some things are going to just be a desperate attempt at trying to fix something that is beyond repair.
Buckle up, because we're going to try and get through all of them, and that includes Ranger.
Yeah, there's a lot. But with that, let's get right into it with Barbarian.
Alright!
So, Barbarian, the first optional class feature that you can choose is at 3rd level. When you reach 3rd level, and again at 10th level, you gain proficiency in one skill of your choice from the list of skills available to Barbarians at 1st level. And this is called Primal Knowledge. This is a feature... Also, probably should mention these. Optional class features in Tasha's. It is up to the DM, but generally, as long as the DM agrees, you can take these in addition to any of the class features you already get, unless otherwise stated.
Yeah, some of them will say replaces blank feature, and then you just, you know, look at the two of them and you choose which one you would prefer to have, right? So
Yeah, but that's Primal Knowledge. And then the second one that you can get from Barbarian is called Instinctive Pounce. As part of the bonus action you take to enter your rage, you can move up to half your speed. So you get like a half dash.
I mean, both of these are pretty good, right? I mean, it's just like one's kind of getting the barbarian into the fray, and then the other one is making them be more skilled, which is always good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really enjoy... I think Instinctive Pounce is something that I would find more use in. But Primal Knowledge is also very useful to have.
I think the thing about Primal Knowledge that I really like is that it takes Barbarian, a class who normally is not known for having any skills at all, and actually gives them something useful.
That's
outside of beating the ever-living life out of everything.
And I like that you can still have it be customized a bit, because it's not like you're getting all of them, right? You're still only getting 4 out of the 6 skills that you choose. So it's not like crazy.
Yeah, so now you can take more than just, you know,
Intimidation and athletics.
Yeah. the classic barbarian skills.
Unless, you know, of course, if you had one of those from your background where you got to take one more, but I mean...
Oh gosh. Yeah. Moving on to Bard. Bard being the first spellcaster, this is going to be a huge thing for all spellcasters, but you get additional spells added to the spell list for the class. I'm not going to list them all. Do your research. And that's at first level. At Gosh, second level,
what do you think we are? People who list off class features? Gosh.
Yes. In second level, you get a feature called Magical Inspiration. If a creature has a bardic inspiration die from you and casts a spell that restores hit points or deals damage, the creature can roll that die and choose a target affected by the spell. Add the number rolled as a bonus action to the hit points regained or the damage dealt. The bardic inspiration die is then lost. I really like that. You just get to deal extra damage or heal extra, especially if you're like giving this to a cleric.
Or maybe you're a really big party and you're giving it to another bard.
Oh, jeez. Too much power. At fourth level, you get Bardic Versatility. Whenever you reach a level in this class that grants the ability score improvement feature, you can do one of the following, representing a change in focus as you use your skills and magic. Replace one of the skills you chose for the expertise feature with one of your other skill proficiencies that is not benefiting from expertise. Or replace one cantrip you learned from this class's spellcasting feature with another cantrip from the Bard spell list.
Yep.
It's pretty fantastic. You just got a new thing to look forward to at level 4.
Yeah, this is, or I mean, 4, 8. 10 or 4, 8, 12, you know, 16, 19,
yeah,
all of them.
Yeah.
But like, basically, this is going to be the start of a lot of repetition with this Bard class, because you're getting into the spellcasters and you're getting into the versatilities that's for most of the martial. And this is like mainly my favorite part, because here I am, right? I like building my characters very specifically, and now I get to do it and be a little bit more slack with it and test it out in the same game. I don't have to playtest my characters beforehand in one shots and stuff like that, because if I make the wrong choice, chances are I'll be able to fix it later. And that is glorious, because nothing is more frustrating than just continuing to play a character that you don't really want to play anymore because you're ruined by a certain ability or whatever that you took, right? And so it's always going to be nice to be able to swap those things out for later.
Yeah, having the Bardic Versatility, I think, in addition to the ASI, you're getting a lot of use at any of those interval levels where you're kind of getting a bonus to something. Mm-hmm. And it really helps you kind of develop more as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, especially if you have like a wizard or something in your party and he keeps taking spells that do better than you. So you have to like outplay the wizard, so you keep switching out your spells, and then the wizard just naps and takes new spells, and you're like, God dang it!
Are you trying to keep up with like the versatility of like clerics and druids and whatnot, where they can just pick out new spells every day that like doesn't matter at all what they choose from? You know, it's just like the whole spell list. But yeah, speaking of clerics, the next class is cleric, if you didn't know. The first new ability is Channel Divinity, is another Channel Divinity option called Harness Divine Power. It's at second level, obviously, and it's an optional additional feature. You can expend the use of your Channel Divinity to fuel your spells. As a bonus action, you touch your holy symbol, utter a prayer, and regain one expended spell slot, the level of which can be no higher than half your proficiency bonus rounded up. The number of times you can use this feature is based on the level you've reached in this class. Second level once, sixth level twice, 18th level thrice. And you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. So this is just another option for your Channel Divinity. You know, maybe you're a cleric that doesn't really use your Channel Divinity all that much, and you mostly focus on your spells, and obviously your spell slots hurt for that. And every now and then you need to get some back. So this is an easy way to do that, maybe out of combat or even just as a quick action in combat, or as a bonus action in combat. And then you can use said action to whip out one of those new spell slots that you got back.
Yeah, and one thing that I do also want to mention, just because I am finally seeing it and I'm so happy, is that on the expanded cleric spell list, they finally give you Power Word Heal. Literally a spell that is designed with clerics in mind.
Yeah. Next up, fourth level clerics, you get cantrip versatility. And like I said, there's going to be a lot of repetition in this episode, so buckle in. Whenever you reach a level in this class that grants the ability score feature, you can replace one cantrip you learned from this class's spellcasting feature with another cantrip from the cantrip cleric spell list. Again, real good. Next one's Blessed Strikes. This one's kind of, I'm like in favor and kind of don't see the point at the same time because of which domain you take, right? Because clerics, it really kind of like, you can really start to divide the domains into two categories of like, this is a casty cleric and this is a whacky cleric, right? That's gonna focus on melee, right? And so for casty clerics, I can see this being good because it puts a little bit of pain clerics in to the casty clerics, but there's no option for putting a little bit more casty clerics into the, you know, attacky clerics. Because 8th level, you get Blessed Strikes, and at 8th level, you get this optional feature, which will replace the Divine Strike or the Blessed Cantrip, I think it's called. No, what's it called?
Potent Spellcasting.
Potent Spellcasting, that's what it is. It will replace one of those, and I'll read out both of those for you guys so you can see what you're losing here. But, yeah, so Blessed Strikes, you are blessed with the Divine Might in battle. When a creature takes a damage from one of your cantrips or weapon attacks, you can also deal 1d8 radiant damage to that creature. Once you deal this damage, you can't use this feature again until the start of your next turn. So it's like once a turn kind of thing where you can deal d8 extra radiant damage, which can be always nice. But so like that sounds good when the thing that you're replacing is starting at late level. This is potent spellcasting. You add your wisdom modifier to damage that you deal with any cleric cantrip. So instead of having, you know, this sounds like instead of having a finite, you know, probably +5 to your to only your cantrips, you can add a d8, which can be anywhere from 1 to 8 to both your cantrips and your attacks, which sounds like a good takeaway. But then you look at Divine Strike, and at 8th level, you gain the ability to infuse your weapon strikes with Divine Energy once on each of your turns. Again, once per turn, same as Blessed Strikes. When you hit a creature with a weapon attack, you can use the attack to deal an extra 1d8 damage of the same type dealt to that weapon to the target. You say, now, Jake, that's just different damage type. But then I also say when you reach 14th level, the extra damage increases to 2d8. So now you're losing the more rarity type of damage, I guess, of radiant damage for an extra d8. But, I mean, you're a cleric, so radiant damage isn't exactly a hard thing to do, right? And with Blessed Strike, you can add the radiant damage to a radiant cantrip or a radiant cantrip anyways. So it's not it doesn't exactly click in my head, at least, on the you know, like the necessity of taking Blessed Strikes over Divine Strike if you're one of those, you know, melee clerics. So Blessed Strikes, if you ask me, is kind of a good, kind of a bad ability. I mean, in the long run, I still think it's a good addition.
Yeah, I think for me, if I were to take it, I'd probably have it replace Potent Spellcasting.
Right, yeah, like I would probably keep Divine Strike if I was a wacky cleric, like a melee cleric. But if I'm a casty cleric, I'll take Blessed Strikes because then now I have the versatility of, because I'm not losing an extra die, right? Like that's a lot. That's a possibility of 8 damage, right?
And so here's the thing. So the way that I see it is if you replace Potent Spellcasting with it, then you get the D8 on a cantrip or weapon attack with Blessed Strike in addition to the Divine Strike D8.
No, because it replaces the feature. So you don't
get it replaces one or the other.
You only get one of them, though.
Oh, you do?
If you're a casty cleric, this is a part of your divine feature. Your divine domain feature.
Oh, gotcha.
So at 8th level, yeah, if you're a casty cleric, one that focuses on casting spells, you get Potent Spellcasting. And if you're one of the attacky clerics that probably get extra attack at 5th level, you get Divine Strike at 8th. So you're either replacing Divine Strike or Divine Potent Spellcasting.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I never got that far with my cleric. I died already.
Yeah, it's like, it kind of messes with my head. I'm like sometimes I could see this being useful, but at other times I'm like, this is hot pile of garbage. Compared to what I just had, right? Like,
yeah.
So I guess it's kind of up to, you know, the eye of, you know, I forget the saying. Who cares? The eye of the beholder. I'll go with that because it sounds more D&D.
I mean, that is actually correct. So
there we go. Jacob was smart once.
One time.
Write it down. Keep track.
Statistically, I guess it had to happen eventually.
Sorry, I kind of rambled about but that ability for a while, the Blessed Strikes ability. But
that is true that you did do that. But anyways, you know what else is a pretty good spellcasting class?
What?
Druid.
Yes.
Druids also get some cool new things. For one, they get new spells. And I'm not going to go into it too much, but let's just go ahead and say that they're pretty neat.
I would agree.
They also get a feature called Wild Companion. Now, I really like this, because I feel like druids should have already had this. This is something that druids should have had from the very start. So, you gain the ability to summon a spirit that assumes an animal form. As an action, you can expend a use of your wild shape feature to cast Find Familiar spell without material components. So you just automatically cast it. And when you cast a spell in this way, the familiar is a fae instead of a beast, and the familiar disappears after a number of hours equal to your druid level. So up to 20 hours of this creature being there.
It's half your druid level.
Is it?
Yeah.
Equal to half. So up to 10 hours. That's still insane. Especially if you're max level druid and you have unlimited castings, or unless it's unlimited usage of your wild shapes.
Yeah.
That's where it gets amazing. It's just like, oh, you killed my bird. Well, guess what? Bird. It's like, wait, why do you have more birds? I'm like, oh, because bird.
Oh, you got rid of bird? Well, let me introduce you to bird.
Yeah. Or lizard. Or...
Hey, that one was mine.
Bees. I prefer bees.
Just a group of bees?
Or yeah, it's a swarm of bees. That's my familiar. It's a swarm of bees. You also get cantrip versatility, which I realize we've already covered, but, you know. When you reach a level of this class that grants you the ability score improvement feature, you can replace one cantrip you learn from this class, the spellcasting feature, with another cantrip from the druid spell list. Also amazing, because as you level up, like I said, there's always that guy in the party that's like, all of my spells are better than yours. And you're like, well, I guess I'll have to replace my cantrips.
Fine, I guess I'll take one less utility cantrip just to try and one-up you.
Mm-hmm. Until eventually there are no utility cantrips.
And then the whole party is just screwed.
Yep.
And then Basically. Jake cries in a corner somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's just the way it goes. F in the
Yeah,
chat.
I really like, I mean, both of these, really, because, like, I've already expressed why I like cantrip versatility, and then also, I kind of agree, like, why did the animal-based class not get familiar forever?
Yeah.
Like, basically, exactly. Everyone had a chance to have a pet, except for the dude who's really into animals, like...
Yep. Even Ranger got these companions before Druid, and they stole it from Druid. That's the thing. Like, how are you going to steal a thing from Druid that they don't even have?
And the fact that Ranger, like, I think Druid still needs to kind of switch that out with Ranger. Like, I think Ranger, as nice as it is, God, if I can speak,
As nice as it is
to be able to have an animal companion that's like an actual live animal that's there with you all the time, I think that honestly is more of a druid thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Being able to call my on only, the aid of animals around you.
Yeah, my only thing about the druid ability, the Wild Companion, is that I think it should last so longer. I think it should. I mean, if they're able to cast Find Familiar, it should it should act like Find Familiar. Like,
yeah.
I don't see why you should limit it to a number of hours equal to half the druid level.
It's like, because they're casting it using Wild Shape.
Yeah, but then again, like, they only get two of those a day or whatever.
Yeah.
For now, I guess. But
you do get new spell among your new spells, which is what I was looking at. You do get Summon Beast, so that's also cool. Mm. You get Summon Fae, and then you also get Summon Elemental. So you get a bunch of other summoning things.
Yeah. I guess it's just like this. I guess I just wish it was longer, right? And like even those spells are limited on time.
Like, I mean,
they don't stay that long.
If your DM is friendly, then they'll just give you a pet that you can just have.
Yeah, like if I was the DM, I'd be like, why does it go away? That's so dumb. Like, why do you have a timer with your pet?
It's got to go see mom or dad now.
Yeah, you have joint custody over a weasel or something. Like,
except the joint custody is between you and the Archfey.
All of the Archfey.
Yeah.
Well, you know what
you
do
for your pets.
You know what you got to do when you're in the middle of a custody battle with the Fae?
What?
You hire a fighter. Especially when they have all these new class features. Now, I'm not going to lie, fighters don't actually get that many new class features because they're pretty much solid as it is. But what they do get is new fighting styles. They get a lot of them. They get a bunch of them.
Yeah, you listeners will slowly catch on here. The classes that kind of need a little help got a lot of help, and then the classes that are already pretty okay, they just got a couple of touch-ups that pretty much everyone else already also got. But yeah.
Yeah, but fighter. So you get some new class features, or not class, new fighting styles to pick from. The first one being blind fighting. You're a blind dude. Or you've just become Batman and mastered the art of fighting in complete darkness. Either way, you fight. Even if you're blinded or in darkness, you can see just fine. Within 10 feet of you, you have blind sight, which is amazing. That's the same range that dragons have blind sight. That's so, you know.
The same range as, like, rogues have. I can't remember. Is it blind sight? I think it's blind sight.
It's blind sight, yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's also the interception fighting style. When a creature you can see hits a target other than you within 5 feet of you in attack, you can use a reaction to reduce the damage the target takes. But you have to be wielding a shield or a simple or martial weapon. So you basically have to have a thing in your hand.
This is what I've been wanting all of my shield characters this whole time.
Yep. And now
all of my characters that I've built that are like super tanky. And, like, their whole goal is just to, like, I take all the damage. If you try to hurt other people, I want to take that damage instead.
You know, I just think it would be hilarious if that also included improvised weapons. Because just imagine having Tavern Brawler holding, like, a mug that you're just drinking. And then somebody, like, tries to stab your friend in the bar. So you just slap their hand away.
No. Someone tries to like stab them with a spear or something, and you just hold out your mug sideways, and the spear like perfectly goes into the mug, and then you just like rotate your mug, and it like disarms them because you're a battle master, and you...
it just snaps the tip of the spear off,
or it just like yanks it out of his hand or something.
The next one. It's called Superior Technique, which kind of sounds like what you're describing. You learn one maneuver of your choice from among those available to the Battlemaster archetype, even if you're not a Battlemaster. You also get a superiority die, which is another thing that fighters get, and it's pretty great. You get to add it to a whole bunch of different kinds of things and use it for all different kinds of maneuvers, and it's pretty versatile, and you're pretty much going to have to go look at it in order to understand exactly why it's good, because there's a whole lot of them. It's kind of like being a warlock, but you didn't sell your soul. Next one, thrown weapon fighting, which is something I think should have been a thing for a while, because throwing things is really fun in D&D. You can draw if draw a weapon that has a thrown property as part of the attack you make with the weapon. So you don't have to ready it ahead of time. You can just yeet that thing. And when you hit with a ranged attack, using a thrown weapon, you gain +2 bonus to the damage. And the final one, one that our very own Traveler Mike actually hates, this one.
Yeah.
It's unarmed fighting. Your unarmed strikes deal bludgeoning damage equal to 1d6 plus your strength modifier on a hit. And if you aren't wielding any weapons or a shield, when you make the attack roll, the d6 becomes a d8. And you can deal 1d4 bludgeoning damage to one creature grappled by you.
Just at the start of each of your turns for free.
Yes.
Yep. Because Mike hates it. You're choking him out. Jake loves it.
I love it too.
Here's the thing, right? So I had seen this series of like 3 or 4 videos on the forbidden TikTok app, you know, and it's this dude who is like a DM and he just gives like advice and all that stuff on there, and he went into super long detail. I wish I could just pull it up right now, but it's on my phone, which is off to the side, and he just goes into so much detail about why a fighter that takes this can beat a monk in a fight of just unarmed strikes.
I mean, he can't yet. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Monks have all still sorts do of way cool more abilities. Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, Monk's gonna if you stun give, his sorry butt.
Yeah, plus if you give a fighter a longsword, it's literally the same fight. Like,
yeah,
a fighter with a longsword would still deal that much damage.
All yeah, I see I, here I is just don't flare. Like it
because monks thing is unarmed, not fighters.
Well, all that means is that instead but of I mean, having someone who's trained in martial arts, you just have a boxer.
Yeah, a think about this, boxer. Michael, because like Spade, my monk, the only reason he's a monk specifically is because I wanted him to be a boxer, which is all unarmed fighting. And if this was out by then, I might have done fighter. And all that means to me is that there's more avenues for me to follow to get to what I like as a player, right? Like what idea that I have in my head, there's more options for me to try and get there.
Yeah. And I have a boss actually planned where he has this fighting style as one of his several fighting styles. And the entire first part of the fight, he uses only his fists. And then if you guys manage to get his health to a certain point, he will then pull out a weapon because he finally will acknowledge you guys as worthy. And I actually really love that. That gave me the idea.
That is great, actually. That is actually great.
Yeah, and he actually doesn't have a weapon on him. He actually calls it to him. Like, it, like, flies through the wall.
Like Iron Man?
Yeah, or like Thor. Just like, doof, 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 doof. It's like, all right, time to get serious. And then he whacks you guys across the entire map or something.
Yeah, like, I personally love this. I love unarmed fighting.
Yeah,
I kind of wish just more like classes it. Had it.
Yeah, and for any fighters that... they're like, oh, this came out after and my DM won't let me change it. Well, shut up. There's a way to change it. 4th level, martial versatility. Whenever you reach a level in this class, it grants you the ability score improvement feature. You can do one of the following as you shift the focus of your martial practice. Replace a fighting style you know with another fighting style available to fighters.
And if that's you know probably going to be me.
Yeah.
Remember and earlier when I was like, this is the one I wanted before when I made my fighter. When I reach that level, I'm going to probably do it.
Yeah, and fighters get so many of them because they're fighters. Yeah. And if you know any maneuvers from the Battlemaster archetype, you can replace one maneuver you know with a different maneuver.
You know that fighter I was talking about earlier where I was like, I would have taken this fighting style? He's also a Battlemaster. So many uses for this.
Yeah. Speaking of Battlemasters, you guys might be interested to know, so I'll just read them out. There are a couple more maneuver options. I'm not going to get too into them, but I will list them off. Ambush, Bait and Switch, Brace, Commanding Presence, Grappling Strike, Quick Toss, and Tactical Assessment. Now, we'll probably go into those a lot later, but for now, I'll just read them off, because they're cool. It's cool to know that they're there. Especially Grappling Strike and Quick Toss, because you could be a wrestler now. With those unarmed strikes.
It's monk time.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, second level. You could also take a dedicated weapon feature. You train yourself to use a variety of weapons as monk weapons, not just simple melee weapons and short swords, which is what you used to have. Whenever you finish a short or long rest, you can touch one weapon, focus your ki on it, and then count that weapon as a monk weapon until you use this feature again. The chosen weapon must meet these criteria. It must be a weapon, a simple or martial weapon, so bye-bye ranged weapons. You must be proficient with it, and it must lack the heavy and special properties. No lances, nets, or, you know, like, great swords and whatnot. But yeah, so now your monk can, you know, now your monk can be like, oh man, there's this cool magical item that's really cool. Too bad I'm a monk and I'm never going to use it because I punch things. Now maybe your monk won't punch things and maybe they'll hit them with, you know, a sword or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, you could also combine that with, what is it, Kinsei that uses the weapons?
Yep. And then going on to third level monk, you get key fueled attacks. If you spend one key point or more as part of your action on your turn, you may make you can make one attack with an unarmed strike or a monk weapon as a bonus action before the end of the turn. A lot of people might say, Jake, monks can already do that. And I'm not going to lie, I forgot about it earlier too. And my response to you is that you can only make that bonus action attack when you take the attack action. It's actually a rule that I find myself reminding monk players that maybe haven't played for too long or whatnot. I don't know. I always remind those people of this thing. It's like, can't do that. Didn't take the attack action. They're like, oh. So now you could do this. When, you know, you do something else with your attack action, which could, you know, be a number of things, but you can still punch once. You know, you definitely needed to punch more times. That was definitely the problem. moving on to quickened healing. At fourth level, you could also take this. And as an action, you can spend two key points to roll a martial arts die. You regain a number of hit points equal to the number rolled plus your proficiency bonus. Hey! We just found something that isn't attacking that you could do with your action. Wow, look at that. pretty neat, if you ask me. So also, starting at fifth level, if you couldn't tell, these are all low levels, because obviously low-level monk wasn't good enough. You can take focused aim. When you miss with an attack roll, you can spend 1, 2, 3, so, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 key points to increase your attack roll by 2 for each of these key points you spend, potentially turning the miss into a hit. Guys, the monk just found a way to figure out the enemy's AC. You go, hey DM, I rolled a 13 to hit. That misses. I'm going to spend a key point. It's now a 15. That still misses. I'm going to spend another key point to make it 17. All right, you finally hit. All right, guys, his AC is either 16 or 17.
See, what I would, I don't know how I would allow that. I would probably say that you have to choose how many key points you're going to spend.
I mean, technically, the wording is when you miss with an attack roll, so.
I would probably only let you do it one time per attack.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't let you do multiple increments.
But still, like, it's still kind of busted. You could get up to +6 on your attack. I mean, I guess it uses a lot of key points, but like, jeez Louise.
Hey, sometimes it be like that, man. Sometimes you just got something with like a 30-something armor class, and you're just like, how do I hit
it? I need to hit it once so I can baby stun it.
Well, I mean, like, imagine that at level 20, like, in a, like, the ultimate boss fight of the whole campaign. That's gonna help you so much.
Yeah, I guess. And at that point, you have key points to spare, right? So
yeah.
Anyways, moving on up. We're going over to Paladin. I just recently really got into Paladin, so I kind of took this one real quick. Especially because the Paladin that I made him after Tasha's, so he very much uses most of these things. But starting off, when you get spell casting... Well, I guess, actually, technically, fighting style becomes full before spellcasting. It's the same level and whatnot, but it says it first on the list, so I'm going to do fighting style first, because I like it. You start off with Blessed Warrior is a new fighting style that you can have. You can learn two cantrips of your choice from the cleric spell list. They count as paladin spells for you, and charisma is your spellcasting ability for them. Whenever you gain a level in this class, you can replace one of these cantrips with another cantrip from that cleric spell list. Yes! Thank you! Paladins get spells! Let me please guide you! It's like one of my favorite, but like... utilities cantrips in the entire game. It's just like add a d4, anything anybody does, add a d4. Just like it does amazing things sometimes. So good. And also it's not even like blocked up by the versatility type things where you can only do it for every ability score increase. You know, anytime you take a paladin level, you could swap it up with your cantrips. Obviously, you have to keep the Blessed Warrior thing, but I mean, the cantrips can change, which is nice. Also, blind fighting, Ben talked about it earlier, but you have blind sight from a range of 10 feet. Within that range, you can effectively see anything that isn't behind total cover, even if you're blinded or in darkness. Moreover, you can see an invisible creature within that range unless the creature successfully hides from you. Yada, yada, yada. Pretty nice. And also, interception. Again, when a creature you can see hits a target other than you within 5 feet of the 5 feet of you with an attack, you can use your reaction to reduce the damage the target takes by 1d10 plus your proficiency bonus to a minimum of 0 damage. You must be wielding a shield or a simple or martial weapon to use this reaction. Pretty neat. Also, the Paladin's kind of just a repeat where it takes a bunch of other stuff from everyone else because it's kind of on the later list. Later end of the spell list or class list, but also you get another option for your channel divinity, harness divine power. You can expend a use of your channel divinity to fuel your spells. As a bonus action, you touch your holy symbol, utter a prayer, and regain one expended spell slot, the level of which you can be no higher than half your proficiency bonus. Round it up. The number of times you can use this feature is based on what level you reach in this class. Third level once, seventh level twice, 15th level thrice. You gain all expended uses when you finish a short or finish a long rest. So, again, this is just the thing from the cleric that I touched on before, but I still think it's good. I almost might argue it's better because paladins have a lot less spell slots. So, there you go. And also, at 4th level, and every time you take an ASI, whenever you reach a level in this class, that grants an ability score improvement feature. You could replace a fighting style you know with another fighting style available to paladins. This replacement represents a shift in focus in your martial practice. Which is always neat.
Nice.
A lot of just editing that you can do, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's especially nice because... you don't necessarily have to hit up your DM every time they're like, I don't know about choosing this thing. It's like, well, give it a shot.
And then if you don't like it, if you find yourself in 4 levels where you didn't use it once, change it. Which is exactly what I did with my paladin. He started out with the protector, I think. He started with a protector, what's it called? Martial fighting style, that's what it's called. And then... I literally found myself 4 levels later not using it once a single time, and I was like, all right, time to get some cantrips. I was like, let's start guiding people. Ooh, yeah, that sounds fun to me. Oh, wait, Ben, do you hear that?
Huh?
Do you hear that?
What is
in
that?
The distance? It sounds like that? It sounds like someone's going to talk a lot because Toss has tried to fix Ranger.
The fools. We all know it's not
emphasis
possible.
On trying. Listen, here's the thing. I appreciate that they're putting in work, but I think after I read these, you'll realize that it's just not enough. And let me tell you, they give you 11 things that are in the first 10 levels of the class. Within level 10, you have 11 things that are either swapped out or just additional things, and they still haven't fully fixed it.
Yep.
They haven't even gotten close. So, bear with me here. I'm going to try to keep this as brief as possible, because it is Ranger. Okay, so... Deft Explorer, which is a first level Ranger feature, replaces Natural Explorer. You are unsurpassed explorer and survivor both in the wilderness and in dealing with others on your travels. You gain the canny benefit below, and you gain an additional benefit below when you reach 6th and 10th level in this class. So these next three, I counted as part of the 11, but they are all technically part of that. So canny at first level is choose one of your skill proficiencies. Your proficiency bonus is now doubled for any ability check you make that uses that chosen skill. And you can also speak, read, and write two additional languages of your choice.
Wait. Did Ranger just copy Rogue and Bard?
You got half an expertise.
Cool.
you got half an expertise, and the other half, they gave you two languages instead of double proficiency.
Michael, I'm going to try my best for each of these abilities to relate it to another class feature that already exists.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you how it's even worse.
I don't know how far I'm going to go, but it's going to be great.
Here's the thing. It's good that you get two additional languages, but honestly, what are you going to use those for?
Who cares? You came out of the woods.
Like... Sixth level, you get roving. Your walking speed increases by 5 feet, and you gain a climbing speed and swimming speed equal to your walking speed.
That sounds like they're just trying to steal from racial abilities at this point, really. Like,
that, or they're just trying to give you extra speed like you're a monk or something.
Yeah, that sounds kind of... Hmm.
But then giving you climbing and swimming.
Yeah.
Which is just stupid. Climbing, I understand, but not swimming.
Yeah, for a ranger.
Yeah. Ranger, you're not generally going to be swimming unless you were, like... an aquatic ranger, but anyways, at 10th level you get tireless. As an action, you can give yourself a number of temporary hit points equal to 1d8 plus your wisdom modifier, minimum 1. You can use this action a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. In addition, whenever you finish a short rest, your exhaustion level, if any, is decreased by 1.
Okay, that's actually pretty neat. It's kind of like second wind, but as an action... But also, you're faster at getting unexhausted.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you don't take short rests, there's no point.
Yeah. I would just short rest all the time then, if I was exhausted.
Yeah, now you're just going to be more annoying to your party, and you're just going to be like, short rest? And everyone will be like, no! And then the warlock would be like, I'd actually like a short rest.
we just short rested 20 minutes ago! Yeah, but now I'm exhausted. another thing. So at first level, replacing favored enemy and works with foe slayer, I guess, is called favored foe. When you hit a creature with an attack roll, you can call on your mystical bond with nature to mark the target as your favorite enemy for 1 minute or until you lose your concentration, as if you were concentrating on a spell. The first time on each of your turns that you hit the favored enemy and deal damage to it, including when you mark it, you can increase that damage by 1d4. You can use this feature to mark a favored enemy a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. This feature's extra damage increases when you reach certain levels in this class to 1d6 at 6th level and to 1d8 at 14th level. They basically just gave you an additional foe slayer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. You basically have two instances of foe slayer that stack. That's essentially all you get.
Yeah.
But at that point, you're losing out on favorite enemy, which... can be really useful if you're playing in a campaign that has a very specific enemy type that is going to be consistent.
Yeah.
So I don't like this. Moving on. Second level ranger. You get additional ranger spells. It is what it is. Cool. You're still not going to be that happy.
Cool.
Also at second level, you get new fighting style options. You get blind fighting. We've gone over that twice now, so I'm going to skip that. You get Druidic Warrior. You get two cantrips of your choice from the Druid spell list. They count as Ranger spells for you, and Wisdom is your spellcasting ability. Whenever you gain a level in this class, you can replace one of these cantrips with another cantrip from the Druid spell list. Once again, Ranger is stealing from Druid because they're not original.
I like this. I still like it.
I mean, like it. I just think it's stupid. Warrior.
But, I mean...
Ranger steals, like, everything from Druid, though. That's why I hate it.
I mean, but, like, Rangers also don't get cantrips, typically, right? So,
not yeah, because they're half-caster.
Like, it's cantrips, so that's nice. I'll actually like this one.
You get but thrown also, weapon fighting as well.
Also, it's kind of pointless, though, because, like, why are you not taking archery?
Yeah.
Please, why are you not doing it? Please just take archery. Like, yeah.
I mean, maybe if you wanted to take, like, Shillelagh.
I guess, but, like, I don't know.
For that just, close combat?
I don't know.
That you as a ranger
are getting in? So not built for it, so it doesn't make sense to me.
Also, at second level, you get spellcasting focus. Mind you, this is now the third thing that you get at second level. You can use a druidic focus as a spellcasting focus for your ranger spells. A druidic focus might be a sprig of mistletoe or holly, a wand or rod made of yew or another special wood, a staff drawn whole from a living tree, or an object incorporating feathers, fur, bones, and teeth from sacred animals.
You got a druidic spellcasting focus.
They've turned this class into a wannabe druid.
It already was.
Yeah, but they're making it more obvious. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. At third level, replacing primeval awareness, you can get primal awareness. You can focus your awareness through the interconnections of nature. You learn additional spells when you reach certain levels in this class if you don't already know them, as shown in the primal awareness spells table. These spells do not count against the number of ranger spells you know, and you can cast each of these spells once without expending a spell slot. Once you cast a spell in this way, you cannot do so again until you finish a long rest. At third level, you get speak with animals. Fifth is beast sense. Ninth is speak with plants. 13th is locate creature, and 17th is commune with nature.
This does, by the way, go in line with when you reach higher spells. Like, the next level of spells. Like, fifth level is when you get second level spells. Ninth is when you get third. 13th is when you get fourth. And 17th is when you get fifth.
Yeah, because you're a ranger and you're a half-caster.
Yeah.
which is... It's really insane to me that they're putting so much into spellcasting half-caster.
Yeah. Remember how, like, Paladin happened and it was, like... We're advancing the martial bits, and you could kind of make one martial bit a little bit more casty, but, like, it's just cantrips.
Yeah.
And now here we are here. It's just like, do you want to be a druid, but don't actually want to be a druid?
All right. At fourth level, you get martial versatility. Whenever you reach a level in this class that grants the ASI feature, you can replace a fighting style you know with another fighting style available to rangers. This replacement represents a shift of focus in your martial practice.
I like it.
Yeah. It's pretty standard.
Yep.
And then the final thing that you get at 10th level replaces Hide in Plain Sight. It's called Nature's Veil. It sounds like they just looked up a new way of saying Hide in Plain Sight, but made it more nature-y.
Yeah.
You draw on the powers of nature to hide yourself from view briefly. As a bonus action, you can magically become invisible along with any equipment you are wearing or carrying until the start of your next turn. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest.
Oh my gosh, guys. All rangers are now furbolgs.
Yeah, pretty much. you're a furbolg with a wannabe cleric, or not cleric, druid.
Druids, yeah.
No matter what race you are, you're a furbolg druid that just furbolg is bad at being a druid.
And bad at being a furbolg.
Yeah. Like I said, they did a lot to Ranger. It's still not
okay,
good.
Okay. Hold on, though. Like, They made some good improvements, right? So, like, there's a couple. Favored foe is no longer based specifically on creatures, which is a problem that players have been very vocal about, right?
Yeah.
Natural explorers replaced with Death Explorer, where you just get more ability features rather than having a specific terrain that you're better at, which is stinky doo-doo because you could pick a terrain that fits with your character and backstory, but push comes to shove, uh-oh, your campaign doesn't take setting in that terrain at all, so now you're useless.
Or you're in there for one session.
But now you get... But now, to be fair, there might be other class features that other people get, but you still get things that aren't relying on, you know, the specific terrain and whatnot. The extra fighting styles are still good. It's just, like, also... You should probably still take archery.
Yeah, here's...
But, like, they're still adding options, and they tried, and I think that it's better than what it used to be.
Here's what
it's
I like.
It's just not what we all wanted, I don't think.
I like Deft Explorer. I'm kind of iffy on Favored Foe.
I think
it works, but I also really like Favored Enemy. So
I can understand that
because it has a little bit more roleplay potential mixed mm-hmm. in. Favorite yeah. foe kind of loses that roleplay potential, so I'm not gonna take that. I like the idea of having additional fighting style options just because, you know, a little bit more versatility in what you mm-hmm. can do, but probably. You're probably still gonna be taking archery anyways. That's about it.
The other stuff, I think I do kind of agree. All the spellcasting stuff where they try and make you more spellcasty just seems like a bit of extra stuff.
Here's the thing. They would do so much better if they just made Ranger not a caster.
Yeah. But, I mean, I still think they're making progress.
Yeah.
Give them a little bit of slack. Because, like, we've been bagging on Ranger this whole time. And they are making improvements. It's just not exactly what we wanted, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could have just, you know, made it official and put Ranger Revised, but...
Yeah.
they could have just given us a new Ranger class altogether. That's my biggest problem with this, is they didn't do that.
They didn't do a full revamp. They're still trying to fix...
They're trying to do it piece by piece, and it's just not doing it.
Yeah. Anyways.
So yeah, that's Ranger.
Yep, that was a big chunk of Ranger, because Ranger is a bad class. Now we're going to move on to Rogue, which is already a great class, so there's only one.
Yep, and guess what? It makes the Rogue still a better alternative to Ranger.
Not surprising.
Because you get an additional class feature at level 3, called Steady Aim. It's a bonus action. You give yourself advantage on your next attack roll on the current turn. You can use this bonus action only if you haven't moved during this turn, and after you use this bonus action, your speed is 0 until the end of the current turn. So basically, you hold still, you aim, and then you shoot somebody with advantage.
And that advantage gives you sneak attack. And also, this doesn't get rid of anything from your cunning action thing, which is like your whole bonus action wheelhouse. Yep. So it's just like, oh, did you want another way to have advantage? Here you go. And then all the rogues in the area went, thanks, that was cool. And here we are.
Well, you can't use your cunning action.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It doesn't replace anything from it, so you're not losing anything for this.
Yeah. It's not a replace either.
For me,
so.
Yeah, for me, it might as well just be a little bit later addition to Cunning Action. Just like a level later is all it is.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. That's the best way to look at it.
that's it for Rogue. It's all the
and
help
I like
they
that.
Needed.
I like it. It's like,
and
cool.
Really,
I got another...
they didn't even really need to help. They just threw it in there so that Rogue wouldn't feel bad.
So that yeah. Rogue wouldn't have literally nothing in addition to this, you know, like all these other things get a bunch of stuff, and Rogue has literally nothing.
You know what's hilarious that actually has nothing? Artificer.
Artificer got to be published officially, okay? That's what they got.
They got to be published in something other than just the Eberron setting.
Yeah, in a book that wasn't just a setting book. An actual official supplement book.
They got to come to Forgotten Realms.
Welcome, Artificer. They also got a new subclass, but
yeah.
For another day.
Next up is the Sorcerer. It's a caster, so you know they're getting additional spells. They are also getting two new metamagic options. Yeah. they're pretty cool. I will go into those probably in another episode.
Yep.
At fourth level, you get Sorceress Versatility. Whenever you reach a level in this class that grants the ASI feature, you can do one of the following, representing the magic within you flowing in new ways. Replace one of the options you chose for the metamagic feature with a different metamagic option available to you. Or replace one cantrip you learn from the class's spellcasting feature with another cantrip from the sorcerer spell list. I like that. I like being able to transfer out spells. And then at fifth level, you get Magical Guidance. You can tap into your inner wellspring of magic to try to conjure success from a failure. When you make an ability check that fails, you can spend one sorcery point to re-roll the d20, and you must use the new roll, potentially turning the failure into a success. You basically get lucky, except you use your sorcery points.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't
and
have to be a one.
It's only for ability checks. It's only for ability checks.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. We like it.
they didn't have to add a lot.
Sounds good.
Sorcerer's pretty solid.
All right. Moving on to Warlocks, I suppose. Get this, guys. There's new spells added to the Warlock spell list.
Whoa, you guys know? No way.
But, to be fair, Warlock gets a little bit more than most here. Because we also get an additional Pact Boon, which is kind of neat. So, in addition to Pact of the Blade, Pact of the Chain, and Pact of the Tome, now we also have Pact of the Talisman. Your patron grants you an amulet, a talisman that can aid the wearer when the need is great. When the wearer fails an ability check, they can add a d4 to the roll, potentially turning the roll into a success. This benefit can be used a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and all expended uses are restored when you finish a long rest. If you lose the talisman, you can perform a one-hour ceremony to receive a replacement from your patron. This ceremony can be performed during a short or long rest and destroys the previous amulet. The talisman turns to ash when you die. This also includes a whole bunch of extra invocations that are specifically for talisman that I'm not going to cover today, but I will cover another day. So keep that in mind. It's going to be just as more broken and useful as Pact of the Chain, Pact of the Tome, and Pact of the Blade gets with additional, you know, what are they called? I can't think of them right now. Invocations. I said it like two sentences ago and I immediately forgot it. But it already starts out pretty neat. I can see the foundations that they're placing here, and I can only see it getting better in the future. Moving on to the next ability for Warlock. Also, they didn't get much because this is the last one. Eldritch Versatility. When you reach a level in this class that grants the ability score improvement feature, you can do one of the following, representing a change in your focus of the occult studies. So you can only do one of the three here. You can replace one cantrip you learned from this class's pack magic feature from another cantrip from the Warlock spell list. You can swap out a cantrip. Sounds good. Replace the option you chose for the Pact Boon feature with one of the other features, with one of the features' other options. All right. Sounds cool. You could change up your whole subclass, your whole second subclass, I should say, because Warlock kind of gets two, let's be real. And also, if you're 12th level or higher, you could replace one spell from your Mystic Arcanum feature with another Warlock spell from the same level. You get to swap out more spells. Sounds great.
Yeah.
If this change makes you ineligible for any of your Eldritch invocations, you must also replace them now, choosing invocations and for which you're qualified. So, you get to replace invocations for free if you just change your whole, you know, boon. Because, you know, you used to have a bunch of things that, you know, retained to Pact of the Blade, but now you're going to go over to that fancy new Pact of the Talisman, and you're going to get, like, you know, two invocations for free, because you got to swap them out, because you're no longer Pact of the Blade, or whatever. I don't know.
Which, DMs, anytime your players want to use this feature, that's a great quest line.
Yeah, or story point, plot point. Yeah. As I always suggest with just Warlocks in general, try and work with your DM a little bit more on, like, you know, what you're planning to do with your character, because everything can have some sort of, you know, push and pull between you and your patron, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, Warlocks. Pretty neat. I like it.
So, I gotta say, I think Wizards didn't need the boost, but oh god, did they get a boost in this one. first things first, they got new spells, which, not surprising, they're wizards. They were going to get new spells, right? We don't even need to go over that. It's a bunch of spells.
They had the most spells at the beginning. They're going to keep that throughout now. Everyone else getting more spells, they're going to get some too.
But the thing that they got that I think is lovely, it's called Cantrip Formulas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a third level feature. You have scribed a set of arcane formulas in your spellbook that you can use to formulate a cantrip in your mind. When you finish a long rest and consult those formulas in your spellbook, you can replace one wizard cantrip you know with another cantrip from the wizard spell list.
Oh, so you know all those other features where you were like able to swap out your cantrips during certain level ups?
Yeah, wizards can do that every day. Single day with any cantrip that the wizard can know.
Which is like a bunch of them.
Yeah. The ultimate utility.
Oh, hey, we're going to be going into a really dark space. Let me just get, like, dancing lights.
Or just light in general.
I don't normally have dancing lights, but now I do, because why not? Yeah. Bye-bye, control flames that was useful yesterday, but don't need it now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's dumb. It is dumb, and it is great.
It's stupid good.
Yeah, and I love it.
It's so good that it's stupid. It's like, wow, they really needed that, huh?
Yeah, if you look at the spells that were added by this book to the game, and then you look at the list that is expanded for wizards in the book, you'll notice you have pretty much every spell that came out in this book.
Pretty much.
Yay!
I think it's minus like a couple of them, but you have almost all, if not all.
Yay, wizard! What, you thought you were gonna get special stuff, and I wasn't also gonna be able to copy it? I'm a spellcaster. I'm the basic boy spellcaster that could copy anything any other spellcaster does. Come on, that isn't bard, I guess, because bards literally do that. I just have the capacity to do everything. Leave me alone. I'm a nerd. I study hard for this. But yeah. Can't help but notice that wizard is W. It's the end of the book.
Is it? Yeah, wizard misses out on two spells in this book.
That sounds about right.
Summon beast and summon celestial.
Oh no! Not the two of the summons.
Those are literally the only two added by this book that wizards do not have access to.
Wizards.
Fantastic.
Wizards are the real reason they keep coming out with more books.
Yep, they just need more. Obviously, they need more power.
Well,
they weren't good enough.
We know they aren't coming out with more books for Rangers, that's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, if you want to continue supporting us, go to our YouTube, Traveler's Tips and Tales. Go to our Instagram, Ooh. Traveler's Tips and Tales. Go to our Facebook, Traveler's Tips and Tales. Go to our Tumblr, Traveler's Tips and Tales. Go to our Twitter.
Oh, can I guess it? Can I guess it?
Yeah.
Is it Traveler's Tips and Tales?
It's Tips Tales.
Ah, oh, you got me. Damn.
Ha. You can
sneaky.
You can email us, traveler's tips and tales@gmail.com. Send us cool stories. Send us your opinions, whether it be that you think that my opinion is garbage and that the fighting style is totally balanced and not messing up anything. I'll think you're wrong, but I'll still read it.
Hey Michael, I think your opinion is garbage and that the fighting style is totally fine and it doesn't mess up anything.
You're wrong, but I still listen to it. You can also go to our website, Traveler's Tips and Tales, where you get a sneak peek of the kind of homebrew things that you can come to expect if you were to go to our Patreon at Traveler's Tips and Tales. Where you can get an expanded list of homebrew things crafted by our very own traveler, Ben. And eventually I'll be posting a couple of things on there as well. I have a couple things in the works for it. Just massive things that are taking time. But yeah, if you want to support us by going on Patreon and becoming a patron, we would greatly appreciate it. It goes towards helping us get better supplies. better recording equipment and stuff like that, so that way we can produce better quality content.
Yep. And also, it makes the idea of trying to do this and only this, which obviously would make a ton of better content because we'd be able to put a lot more time and effort into them, you know, instead of the two of them, because, you know, I'm unemployed. the two of them also having to go to work every day and whatnot. But, you know, it makes that idea a lot more feasible.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. I know that it's ridiculous to expect that we're going to get enough people on Patreon right now to yeah. pay three people's salaries and us not have to actually go to work. But
yeah,
if by some miracle we were able to do that, we would be able to put out content for you every single day on YouTube.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whether it's one of us, two of us, or three of us in the video, we would be able to put out content all the time for you guys.
Or we'd do the awkward thing and we'd all make a video with only one of us in it and then we all post it at the same time.
Three videos yes. in one day.
Every day each of us posts our own video. but yeah, it would definitely help us out. It would help kind of keep us encouraged to know that you guys do want to keep listening and want us to keep making content for you because we enjoy this. So we hope you enjoy it as well.
Also, thank you to one special lady that does help us out in that aspect a lot, Ben's mother.
Yeah.
Also, thank you to Dalton, the maddest of lads.
Yes. Both of them are at our $50 tier on Patreon. Therefore, they get shouted out on our episodes, and they are both absolute G's. My
mother included. Dalton, if you're listening to this, and I know you are because you're you, go ahead and just hit us up because you technically get to talk to all three of us.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's the kind of thing that you can come to expect if you become a Patreon member.
We now work at your whim, Dalton.
For an hour.
For an hour.
But yeah, we hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode, and we hope you guys continue listening to the Reclassed series as we kind of make our way through this little section of episodes. It'll probably be 5 to 10 episodes or so. But yeah, I think that will wrap it up on my end. If you guys have anything you would like to add,
adventure awaits. Yuck.